710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What's going on? It is Friday. And yes, this is actually, because I'm on vacation next week, this is actually my last show in afternoon drive. Let's be honest about something here. We never wanted to leave middays. Not that we've got any say in things. The Will Cain experiment did not work, and so we've got a brand new lineup, which is going to be fantastic. Keyshawn is part of the brand new morning show from 5 to 9 every day. Then from 9 to 11, Mike Greenberg, who John and I watch every single day on the Get Up, followed by Max Kellerman from 11 to 1. Then Mason in Ireland from 1 to 4. Afternoon drive will be George Sedano along with LZ, and then Scott Kaplan is going to do nights from 7 till 10. So we are now live and local from 1 until 10 o'clock at night, and I think the shows that we've added are fantastic. Couldn't be more excited. It all starts a week from Monday. So, John, 5 years ago today.
Yeah, I don't
any
know what
ideas?
What you're getting at? I don't.
The mace plant happened 5 years ago today.
Boy, I would have guessed that that was 8 to 10 years ago.
Yeah, the station reminded me with a great tweet, including the video. I retweeted it.
All of the uncoordinated athletic moves you have ever made, that may be at the top.
Now, I would argue,
In other words, Mason may mace plant.
Yeah, I would argue that, first of all, if you watch it closely, if you watch the video, very hard foul from Corey Maggette, which started the entire sequence in which I was injured. I chased down Maggette, and when I tried to, I slipped and fell with my face and kind of led with my face a little bit. Became that became the mace plant. Oh, God. Just to look at it hurts now.
Yeah.
Just to look at it hurts.
That is a more uncoordinated move than when you broke your foot.
Boy, it's close, though. It's very close. I mean, I've done more than my share of stupid things. But that's right near the top.
I don't understand when I look at the mace plant, why didn't you break your fall with your hands?
Because I was going for it, man. I was after Maggette.
What? He was on the other side of the court. I mean,
there was no one
near you.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, hard foul if you watch that closely. I tried to chase Maggette down, couldn't get him.
No foul.
He dunked on me, too. I don't know if you noticed that. He dunked on me.
There is literally no foul and no reason why I'm looking at it now. You look drunk.
Well.
You're dribbling.
Well,
you're trying to play point guard. You lose the ball. You fall down. Then you get back up. And you stumbled like three times. And oh, man. I mean, there's no one within 5 feet of you on either side.
Yeah.
It's painful to watch.
Yeah, it's out there. 5 years ago today. Very, very memorable. I don't remember anything from 2015. That year is just a complete blank for me. So, John, the Lakers last night looked awful. Shot 2 of 19 from 3.
Oh, that's in the eye of the beholder. They didn't have LeBron. You don't take games where they don't have LeBron seriously, do you?
You've got to make shots. They've been 7 of 56 over the last 7 of 56 over the last two games. That's 12%. They're shooting 12% from 3, John.
Do you have to make shots in a game that has no meaning in the standings?
The idea of these games not to tune up for the playoffs? It's not?
I think there is a number one priority in these games that you haven't mentioned.
Okay.
Just get through them without getting hurt.
Well, no, that's definitely part of it.
That's
the whole ball game. That's why I have no issues with LeBron sitting down, with AD sitting down. I guess both are questionable for tomorrow. Is that right?
No, AD's probable. LeBron is questionable. But, if Frank Vogel wanted to rest him, I wouldn't kill him for it.
I wouldn't.
You know?
I mean, I have no problem with that. But I want to see Danny Green make shots. I want to see KCP make shots. Those guys, they've got to be shot makers for us during this postseason run. They're really the two best three-point shooters we've got. And we need them to shoot. Last night they couldn't. Game before they couldn't. Offensively, the Lakers have been challenged through this entire bubble period. In fact, they've got the worst offense of any team, lowest scoring offense of any team, just 95 points a game during the bubble games, during the seeding games. I mean, I'd like to see the offense click a little bit before we get to the postseason and potentially a series against Portland.
Yeah, I'm not worried. And Memphis won today, so it's Portland's not in the clubhouse yet. They look like they're going to be the team, but Memphis surprisingly won a game today. So if Memphis could somehow get the 8, that I think would give the Lakers a soft landing spot. I don't know if they can do it. I don't know if the Grizzlies can do it. But the fact that they won one game, Mace, they just got to win one more.
Yeah, one more. That's it. One more game. One more game.
And they have 3 games left, and 2 of the 3 against Toronto and Milwaukee, whose playoff position is already going to be locked. So maybe they would, like, sit Kyle Lowry or sit Giannis, and the Grizzlies would catch a break. But it's too early to say.
So let me read you something. This is actually, I don't have the name of the writer. It's SB Nation Silver Screen and Roll. This was a group that was lauded all season long for how close the players were, how hard they played for one another, and how those traits made them succeed and coalesce to become something greater than the sum of their parts. Now the Lakers are slumping at an inopportune time. LeBron is alluding to things beyond his control that he would rather not talk about. And the team gave its starting center, JaVale McGee, a DNPCD without much of a reason. John, is this, whatever this off-court thing, is that reason for concern?
No. I asked a couple of people who covered the team, and they think LeBron's just messing with people.
Really? He's just messing with people?
Yeah. Just being a goofball is what one of them said to me.
Wow.
So, I'm not worried about it yet. Now, if they were to be upset in the early rounds, then you could go back and circle it. But I just don't think they're going to. I think they're fine.
No, I don't think they're going to get upset in the early rounds. But I want to see them shoot better. I just want to see them shoot better. This game is about making shots, and they haven't been. And it's not just LeBron being out. With no Avery Bradley, they are really going to rely on KCP and Danny Green to make threes.
You understand, though, when LeBron's out of the game, it changes everything, right? When LeBron's in there,
yeah. But as you pointed out, they're 3-1, 3-1 without LeBron going into last night.
No, they're 2-2 now.
Yeah, 2-2 now. But they went in 2-1. So these are winnable games. You still got to be able to shoot.
Maybe.
Not maybe. Say it. They've got to be able to shoot.
Well, no, I'll admit this: if they shoot the way they've shot the last 2 games, they won't win the title. But I don't think they're going to shoot the way they've shot the last 2 games for the next 20 games. I just don't.
Yeah, if they shoot this way once they get to the postseason, they could get knocked off.
Mace,
they could get knocked
just,
off.
It's just like in baseball. That's your favorite sport. It's like, it's a good hitter. It's Mike Trout going through a slump, 0-10. You know, he'll snap out of it. I'll still bet on LeBron and AD and that whole group.
By the way, we talked. You mentioned slumps. Cody Bellinger is in a huge slump right now for the Dodgers. He is 7 of 56. He does have 2 home runs, but he is 7 of 56. And
the weird thing is, because all the games count as 3 games, that is magnified. You know, because they're already, what'd you say, 20% through the season?
This is basically 20% through the season. And the other thing we should mention, the Marlins are playing again today. There is one game that is postponed, which is the Cardinals versus the Cubs.
Hey, did you see what happened since we've been in the air with
no,
that?
No. What happened?
They canceled the whole series.
They canceled that whole Cardinals-Cubs series?
Yes.
Oh, damn it.
So the Cardinals, if they're going to play 60, have to play 50.
They're taking the long way.
Well, they have to play 55 games in 50 days.
Yeah, they're going to have some doubleheaders. They're going to have some travel. This is what we've been talking about. There's no way that everybody is going to play the same number of games this year. The Cardinals will not get to 60. The Marlins, unlikely to get to 60. The playoffs and seedings are going to have to be determined by winning percentage as opposed to just strictly wins and losses. And that's something that baseball is going to have to come to grips with. And I think that's okay. And by the way, the other thing, John, and I've been thinking a lot about this. When we get to the playoffs, you're talking about 16 teams. Why not do a bubble for the playoffs? 16 teams. Why not do a bubble at least for the playoffs? That is potentially a point in which October, when some of the scientific people think that could be an uptick of the coronavirus, why not play the postseason in a bubble?
I don't hate your idea, but let me ask you this. If you do that, if you play your postseason in a bubble, do you still take days off in between games like you would in a regular playoff series? In other words, like, you know, you have travel days built into a playoff. Would you, if you're in a bubble and you don't need to travel, would you play every day? Because that would change pitching. You know what I mean?
Right. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to it off the top of my head. I would say
it'd be the same for everybody.
Yeah, I'd say you just keep the same format you always go with. If you're in a bubble and you're secure. And by the way, baseball, you know, aside from the Cardinals outbreak and the Marlins outbreak, you look around baseball, and everybody's been pretty good about this. Everybody's been healthy. There aren't a lot of positive tests out there. There's some random ones, like Juan Soto tested positive at one point. He's back now. But really, it's just contained to the Cardinals and the Marlins, and maybe the addition of sort of this hall monitor or this team supervisor role is going to be a useful one for Major League Baseball, helping to keep players in line. One thing I heard Buster Olney talking about today, which is interesting, is that he thinks that once we get to the end of August and you're a team that is, frankly, just out of it, you're not going to be one of the 16 playoff teams. Why stay then? Why not opt out at that point? If you're, I don't know, you're Pete Alonso of the Mets, why not opt out?
And maybe even better question, if you don't opt out, what's to keep you from going out, from violating the sanctity of the bubble?
Correct. If you don't care, aren't you more likely to make that mistake? And there are some interesting cases, like, for example, John, George Springer is a free agent after this year. He's earned his service time. Could you blame him if he decided to opt out right now? In other words, I want to be healthy when I go to free agency. I've earned my year of service time. I know my team is going to continue playing, but I want to opt out to protect my personal situation.
Not only could I not blame him, I think he should do it. George Springer, go ahead, opt out.
Opt out.
Opt out, George. Just sit in the corner and bang a trash can from home.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird, uncharted. We're in weird, uncharted territory. But look what I just got, John. Did you get push notifications?
No.
You know how you can opt in or opt out of push notifications?
Yeah, I always opt out.
Okay, I get one, exactly one. I've opted out of every single one except TikTok. I get push notifications from TikTok.
That is a dumb one to opt into.
Yeah, I just somehow it slipped. It slipped and it slipped by me, and now I don't know how to get it off my phone, so I will continue to get TikTok. Do you realize how much money people are making on TikTok now? Addison Rae Easterling, student at LSU, she's being paid to sponsor, to promote things like Fashion Nova, Reebok, Daniel Wellington, American Eagle, her own makeup line. All on TikTok in less than a year, she's making $5 million
annually. I'm guessing
annually.
She's not unattractive.
She's not. She's a very attractive girl.
Yeah.
There are guys, though, that are among the most followed. Josh Richards, sponsorship deal with Reebok, House Party, Warner Records, started his own talent management company. Josh Richards making $1.5 million a year. There is money to be made at TikTok, John. Now, does that change your mind? Your money is ultimately your decision maker.
Right.
Do you
change
go to TikTok to make
what?
Money?
No, TikTok's going to be outlawed in the United States. It's already happening.
Wait a minute. They didn't ban TikTok.
They're going to. Have you not been keeping up with this?
Are they going to ban TikTok?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's been the big story the last 2 days. The U.S. government's going to ban TikTok.
What's the reason?
They think that they can use it to spy on us.
Because it's owned by a Chinese company.
Oh, because it's owned by a Chinese. So TikTok is literally going to go away?
Yeah, well, just in our country. It'll still
be
big.
The president already signed some executive orders, and they've got 45 days to get their stuff situated.
Yeah, you don't want to be buying stock in TikTok.
Oh, then I don't. Boy, these kids who are making this money, it's going to just all of a sudden go away.
Well, or they can move. They can go
Or they can move to China.
Well, or they can do it in and just make money in China, but I don't know if it'll translate.
Oh, just got a push notification. Holly M. has just posted a brand new TikTok.
Yeah, yeah, that would make my head explode.
Yeah, it's
push
terrible.
Notifications
it's terrible.
From TikTok. All right, coming up next is Gautam Chopra, who is, you know, he's the one who worked with Kobe on his documentary. He's working with Tom. He did Tom versus Time with Tom Brady,
yep.
And he's got a new one with Brady, right?
Yeah, working on a brand new one with Tom Brady. It is a monster setup. I think it's 9 episodes on ESPN about Tom Brady. So we will get to Gautam coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And our guest is one of the founders of Religion of Sports, along with Tom Brady and Michael Strahan, has done unbelievable projects in sports, including Tom versus Time and the Kobe Bryant documentary Muse. His brand new documentary that he's working on right now is a 9-parter chronicling Tom Brady's 9 Super Bowl appearances across 2 decades of play. That documentary is going to be called Man in the Arena. Gautam Chopra joins us right now. Hey, Gautam, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm good. Glad to be back. Love hanging with you guys.
Yeah, well, we always appreciate when you come on, man, and love your stuff as usual. Let me start with a weird question about Brady. Is he to the point, Gautam, and maybe he always was at this point, where it's Super Bowl title or bust? In other words, if he has a monster year, where the team goes 14-2 and he throws 50 touchdowns, but he doesn't win it. Does he look at that as a failure?
Yeah, you know, I think the crazy thing is that he's kind of always looked at it like that. And I think, yeah, now more than ever, I think I was talking to him, I don't know, earlier this week, and, you know, about the upcoming season and just all the uncertainty and are there going to be crowds. And Tom's kind of like, honestly, like, I came here to challenge myself. I mean, for him, it's like an internal game at this point. And yeah, I mean, winning. But I'd say even beyond winning now, it's like, what can I do? What am I capable of? And so I think he plays those mental games with himself. And certainly it's Super Bowl or bust for him.
Super Bowl or bust. And how is he feeling about this new team?
I mean, it's like a kid on Christmas morning. I mean, he looks around. He's got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and he's got more tight ends than he knows what to do with. You know, I was down there, I will admit, a few weeks ago, and I went to, like, one of those practices he's having, like, informal things, and there's, like, some guy, I didn't even know who he was on the roster, who was, you know, running around in the slot, and I was like, man, I'm picking up this guy on my fantasy team. I mean, he's just got so many guys out there. Yeah, I think he's really excited about the potential.
Tom, or Gautam, I understand why Tom wanted a new challenge and is excited about being in Tampa. The thing I don't understand is why the Patriots cut bait on Brady. And you've been around him, and you did Tom versus Time. You've been around that dynamic. Do you understand, or what's your opinion on why the Patriots broke up with Brady?
Well, I mean, I think it was a mutual decision. I think that, but I do think Tom really wanted a new challenge, and I think he was pretty, behind closed doors, pretty candid about that.
Okay.
And they knew that, and so I'm not sure how much choice there was in the matter. But I also think, and I certainly don't know, you know, Coach Belichick at all. I mean, certainly not the way I do know Tom. But I think I've been around this sort of greatness a lot, and there's the challenge, and there's the edge. And, you know, as much as no one publicly will talk about it, I'm sure Bill Belichick looks at it as like, okay, cool. Now let's see, like, everyone thought it was, you know, and I think they sort of put this in their head. Everyone thought it was about Tom, or in Tom's case, everyone thinks it's about Bill. You know, he hears the things about system quarterback and stuff like that. And I think they all just love that. At that 20 years in, 9 Super Bowls, they need that edge. They need to find that. I mean, this has been consistent with, you know, when I've worked with LeBron, with Kobe, others, it's like finding that mental edge to sort of keep motivating themselves.
You are, in addition to working on this Tom Brady documentary, you're a huge NBA fan. What have you thought of the Lakers here in the early going?
I mean, yeah, I've been watching every game. And, you know, as you guys know, I'm a huge Celtics fan, so I kind of love to watch and root against the Lakers. But,
I did not know that and may affect future bookings.
But it's like I have as much pleasure watching. I don't miss a single Lakers game. I will say that. I love watching LeBron, you know, playing. Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's been a lot of fun. Like, I'm just all in on it. I'm, you know, 45 minutes till the Celtics tip off against the Raptors. I'll be watching. I'm really excited. I think the NBA, of course, I mean, such great leadership, just like the way it's all come together, and knock on wood, you know, no positive tests and all of that. I'm really, like, enjoying it, and I can't wait for the playoffs. I mean, I'm, of course, as the Laker hater, I'm cheering for Portland, because what an amazing series that will be if Dame gets in and gets a shot at the Lakers. So, but yeah, I mean, just like every matchup, even in the East, which I think everyone kind of thought, but it turns out like the Raptors are playing amazing. The Sixers are an interesting mystery. Of course, the Celtics have a lot of interesting youth on their side. So I can't wait.
We're talking to Gautam Chopra, a very, very successful documentary filmmaker, and he's worked with LeBron, he's worked with Kobe, he's worked with Tom Brady, he's working with Tom again now. Gautam, I thought of you when somebody I was, and this was on the heels of watching The Last Dance, which I thought was really well done, the Jordan documentary, and people would compare Kobe to Jordan. And then in my world, because I've covered both Kobe and LeBron, and I, you know, I think they're both once-in-a-generation talents. They're both unbelievable. And somebody said the difference between Kobe and LeBron is LeBron wants to win. Kobe wants to kill you. He wants you dead. Is that fair? Is that a fair analysis? You've worked with both of them. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. You know, we have this – I was thinking about this earlier because I always try to think of, like, a good Kobe story when I'm coming onto the show. And, you know, so we have this new series out on Apple Plus called Greatness Code, which is the best athletes on the planet telling the stories of their most memorable performances. And while Kobe's not in it, he sort of conceived it for me, because I remember when I was working with him and I asked him, assuming that he would talk about, like, one of, you know, the championships, or, yeah, maybe against the Celtics. I mean, I watched him torch the Celtics for years and hated him for it. I asked him what was his most memorable game, and he talked about this, like, sort of obscure game in 2004 against the Orlando Magic. As you guys know, he loved playing Tracy McGrady. He thought he was, like, one of the best players he played against. And, you know, I think there was a game at Staples where he was held to 1 point in the first half. He scored 37 in the second half, and he murdered them. And he just, like, and that was his most memorable game, not because he won a championship, not because it was a rivalry game, but because he felt like, man, and he, you know, he scored 37, yeah, in the second half, including in overtime, and he won the game for them. And for him, just, like, sort of silencing a team was the thing that was most memorable.
You know, it feels like it was forever ago since the tragedy. It was only in January. It's been just a terrible year, obviously, all the way around. But I wonder if you have a sense for how, what kind of motivation this Lakers team might have in playing for Kobe and ultimately winning for Kobe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. I think, you know, LeBron is an incredible leader, and I think he definitely sort of carries, that's one of the things he carries with him, and I think he feels already like a responsibility to this city. And so I'm not surprised if that's a big motivating factor. LeBron has a strong sense of, like, why sports matter. And, you know, we've seen that just in terms of, like, you know, his social activism and stuff like that. So I think it means a lot to him, not just personally, but even just, you know, across the city, for the team, for Kobe's family. I mean, he really gets it. And so, again, you know, not a Lakers fan, but it's hard, especially, I mean, I consider myself a Los Angelino now, and what that team and what he means to the city. I think, you know, it's going to be a really fun ride.
Gautam Chopra is our guest. You know, Gautam, you talked about Greatness Code that you're doing now, and I know LeBron's one of the subjects that you talk about in Greatness Code, and you're a Celtics fan. I, you know, now that I've had a chance to describe LeBron's games for 2 years, he's He may come. I don't know how his career is going to end, but he may be the greatest combination of size and power I've ever seen. I mean, there's no comp. And I think I was thinking back to if I was going to do a time capsule and I was going to put one game in to explain LeBron, I think it would be game six of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals, which unfortunately was against your Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
A game Miami had to win or they were dead. Is that, I know you go through this stuff in your head and in your documentaries. Is that it? Is that the game you would put in a time capsule?
That's the game he put in. That is the game he chose for greatness code. It wasn't, you know, the first championship with Miami. It wasn't coming back to Cleveland. It was, I remember it, 45-50-9. He killed the Celtics.
In a must-win game.
Yeah, and it was pre all the championships, so he talks a lot about that in the piece where he says, you know, I heard it. I came back to Boston. Everyone, you know, I'm a loser. I can't win the big one. I heard it all. And what he, you know, that was the first one we did for that series. And what the thing he said in the interview that was really cool, he said, I heard it all, but before that game, I felt nothing. It was like completely blank. And so that became, I mean, if you watch the series, it's like we use visual effects because it was like, well, you can go on YouTube right now and find the highlights. Like, you can watch it. But LeBron talking about the internal experience of silence and quiet and just how then he exploded. And he really talks about that as the catalyst of the rest of his career, you know, winning all the championships. And again, you know, what I found amazing about that and just consistently, again, starting back with Kobe, is all these guys and women, they choose games that are special to them. They don't choose the ones the fans would necessarily pick. They choose games that, you know, really were memorable for them. And LeBron, that was one was memorable for me, I will say, as a Celtics fan. But, yeah, it was pretty cool to sort of have him, you know, really walk us through it.
Gotham Troper is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. You know, we mentioned, we referenced The Last Dance, which was a huge success for ESPN. Has that sort of opened the door to more opportunities for Religion of Sports, your company? In other words, are people looking at that success and saying, yeah, we want another one of those. We want those kinds of shows.
I mean, you know, before Last Dance, people used to say that about Tom versus Time.
That's true. You're absolutely right, yeah.
Unseated, but yeah, I think so. I mean, it has in some ways, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime player. It's a once-in-a-lifetime. I mean, that Last Dance worked, in my opinion, also just because of the timing. Michael, who he was, the lack of social media, the scarcity of Michael, the legend of Michael. And so, you know, it's a unicorn. It's incredibly hard to replicate. And even like now we're talking about, you know, Man in the Arena, which is 9 parts. It's not The Last Dance. I'm always like, you know, maybe Tom 25 years from now will have his own Last Dance. But this is something very different because that is special. I mean, and Michael was special.
Gotham, last thing for me, you've been spending time with Tom. You've been around in the NFL. You've done a lot of non-sports stuff in your career. What's your level of confidence that we're going to have an NFL season, that it's going to be somewhat what we're used to, and that we're going to crown a Super Bowl champion in this COVID pandemic?
I mean, I don't know that I can say confidently answer yes to all of those. I think we'll start an NFL season for sure. Look, I think just even beyond sports, we're learning so much every day, you know, about this virus and everything. We're seeing different things happening in different cities, like reading today that kids are going back to school in New York is like encouraging to me, like, okay, because we think, you know, 3-4 months ago what was going on in New York, and now they're at a point where they can send their kids or feel they can send their kids safely. That's encouraging. So I think, look, the NFL, for a lot of different reasons, is going to start a season, I think, and they're going to do their best. But, you know, if you're asking me to predict, like, what this looks like in February, I wish I could say confidently I know. But, yeah, look, I don't think that it's going to look like a season like we've ever seen, but either is the NBA right now, and yet it's super fun to watch. And, you know, I'll be watching every game, so that, you know, and that's sort of a testament to me about, you know, why sports matter. And, like, you know, it's more than the games. We need them.
Hey, Gotham, thank you very much for coming on. What's the timetable, by the way, for the new Tom Brady documentary?
I mean, at least a year. I mean, and partly kind of waiting to see what happens this year. Maybe it'll be a 10-part series.
There you go.
Looking forward to it, Gotham. Great
Thanks,
stuff,
Gotham.
As usual,
thank
man.
You.
Stay safe.
You too.
All right, there's Gotham Chopra. Hey, believe it or not, Hard Knocks starts on Tuesday. And all this week we're celebrating.
I'm having trouble believing that. I mean, I'm not even convinced we're having a football season, are you? And here comes Hard Knocks?
Here comes Hard Knocks. The NFL is so bullheaded about this. It's like, we're going ahead no matter what.
I've seen every episode of every season of Hard Knocks, and this will be no different. I'll watch every minute.
All right, fill up the phones right now, 877-710-ESPN. Got a $100 gift card to NFLShop.com, plus you qualify for the grand prize, which is a 55-inch big-screen TV, 877-710-ESPN. This season, Hard Knocks will follow two teams, the Rams and the Chargers. Watch the premiere on Tuesday, August 11th. That's this coming Tuesday at 10 p.m. on HBO and stream it on HBO Max. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
It's Friday, getting ready for the weekend. Lakers tomorrow versus Indiana. That's a 3 o'clock tip, which means 1:30 pregame. Tomorrow, Lakers lose last night to Houston on another
without
awful
LeBron.
Shooting night. Without LeBron. And
don't leave that out.
And without Russell Westbrook.
Without LeBron is what I like to focus on.
Yes, of course. Of course. It was not a good night all the way around. Dodgers, after taking 2 out of 3 from the Padres, are going to open a series against the Giants tonight at Dodger Stadium. And on the mound for the Dodgers, it is – damn, I had that.
It's Julio Urias.
Julio Urias, thank you very much. All right, so we've got one of these great prize packages, a $100 gift card to the NFL shop and an opportunity to win a 55-inch TV screen, TV. And the contest is a simple closest without going over. John, do you want to bring somebody on?
Yeah, let's go Rich in Glendale. Hey, Rich, you're on 710 ESPN. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
All right. Closest without going over, Rich. What was Jared Goff's quarterback rating last year?
Take a shot. Need a guess.
Just guess.
3, 2, 1.
I would say 74.
Okay. 74, okay.
James in Riverside. Hey, James, what was Jared Goff's quarterback rating last year?
I'll say 68.
68?
Okay. Catherine in Banning.
Hey, Catherine.
What was Jared Goff's quarterback rating last year?
I think it was, 54.
Okay. 54, okay.
Carlos in the Valley. Hey, Carlos, what was Jared Goff's quarterback rating last year?
75.
Okay. Zach in Hollywood is the last one. Hey, Zach.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yes, sir. Let's go 85.
85. All right, Mace, who wins?
It is Zach, the very last guesser. The correct answer, 86.5.
Oh, Zach, just under the gun.
Just right at it, Zach.
Thank you, guys. And a long time no talk to Zach again. I think that Mason roast I went to must have been some good luck for me.
There you go. Thanks. That was a great night. That was a great night. Glad you could be there, man. Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
You guys.
$100 gift card to NFLShop.com, plus a chance to win a grand prize of a 55-inch big-screen TV. This season, Hard Knocks following two teams, the Rams and the Chargers. Watch the premiere on Tuesday, August 11th at 10 p.m. on HBO and stream it on HBO Max. By the way, Adam Bronstein had the opportunity to be inside SoFi Stadium today. Adam, why were you there?
I was there to make sure our radio booth is working and ready to go for the start of the season.
Now, will you be there for the games?
No, I will be in studio for all the games.
Who exactly will be in that booth?
It will be JB Long, Maurice Jones-Drew, It'll be their producer, our good friend Mike Pearson, and their engineer, Dodi Rahman.
Okay. All right, so there will be people in the stadium.
There will be some people in the stadium.
Yeah, Adam, give us your 30-second review of SoFi Stadium. What did you see? What did you like? Is there anything you didn't like?
No, everything about the stadium screams cutting edge, brand new. Yeah, it literally the screen is it literally encompasses the entire field. It sits at the very top of the stadium and it's as big as the field. And there's an inside part to the screen and an outside part to the screen. We even got to see how some of the suites look and everything. This place is amazing. It's so disappointing that like people aren't going to get to experience this place until.
Well, don't tell Mason that he's
No. I'm still hanging my hopes on 15,000 people being allowed in for Rams Cowboys.
Okay, yeah, no, it's just like no matter what happens, it's just I'm bummed that people aren't going to experience it for the first game.
Yeah, it is too bad
for the very first game. And
have they formally announced that there will be no fans at that first game?
No.
Not that I know of.
Have not formally announced it.
So, Mace, if they let 5,000 people in, you could be on the list.
Yeah. I mean, I know people.
That's true.
I know people. All right. Coming up next for you is Game of Games.
And let me say something about Game of Games. Now, Mason, you're going on vacation next week.
I am.
It's become apparent over the past 2 months that you're not good.
No, I'm not good at these games.
Game of Games. But I have a prediction. This is my game today. I created it. It's also become somewhat obvious that Lindsay is excellent at games.
She is.
She won the first month. She's leading this month. Adam has never won ever.
Nope.
Yes, I've won a game. I won a game last month.
Okay.
He got one last month.
Okay,
sure.
So, but I'm making a prediction right here. Steve Mason's going to win today. It's going to be a win for him before he goes on vacation. This game favors Mace because he's older. That's the only hint I'll give him.
Finally. Yeah, now that I'm 40, I got a chance to win some of these
games. Only someone in his 60s could do well in this game, and that's why I think Mason does well today.
All right, Game of Games is coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Game of Games. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is that time of day when I tend to be outshone. Outshone? Outshined?
Yeah, outshined is the word you were looking for.
Right now, month of August, Lindsay's won 2 games. Ireland has won 1. None for me, none for Funch, none for Brawny. So we're 3 games into the month of August. Today is John's game, which gives me a golden opportunity to get on the board.
And I think you're going to do well here. Did you guys hear about this last Sunday? The Celtics were playing the Blazers on ABC when Keith Smart had a good block on defense. Somebody tweeted, somewhere Bill Russell is smiling down from the heavens about that great block. Russell then tweeted, just in case anyone cares, I'm still alive. At least I was the last time I checked.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm watching the game. Hey, Paul Pierce, can you let them know I'm still hanging in there? All right, that has inspired today's game of Dead or Alive.
Dead or Alive, wow.
I'll give you the name of a celebrity. You tell me if they are dead or alive. All right, celebrity number one, Lindsay. Stephen Hawking. One of the smartest people ever. Stephen Hawking, is he dead or alive?
Pretty sure he's still alive.
All right. Adam Bronstein, dead or alive?
I think he's dead.
Steve Mason, break the tie.
I think he's dead.
Oh, he just died.
He passed away in 2018.
Yes.
Bronny and Mace on the board. All right. Adam Bronstein, Dick Van Dyke, dead or alive?
Dick Van Dyke is alive.
Steve Mason, Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke is alive.
Lindsay, Dick Van Dyke.
He's alive, and I won't tell you guys why I know that.
Why do you know that?
This is my celebrity Deadpool.
Oh God!
Oh, no. That's awful. Oh,
she. By the way,
how
that,
dare you?
That makes Lindsay the new favorite. He is alive. He's 94. All right.
Wow, Lindsay's in a Deadpool.
Mace.
Not my idea. I just joined.
Mace.
Yep.
Jerry Lewis, dead or alive?
Jerry Lewis is dead.
Lindsay.
I'm pretty sure he's dead, yeah.
Adam.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis is unfortunately dead.
He is dead. He died in 2017. All right, Mace 3 for 3. Adam 3 for 3. Lindsay has 2. Lindsay, back to you. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, Lindsay, dead or alive?
I have no idea. I'm going to stay alive.
Okay, Adam.
Ooh. He's dead.
All right, Mace, break the tie.
He's alive.
He's alive at 97, and Mason's 4 for 4. All right, Lindsay, you were first that time. Adam. Gene Wilder, the original Willy Wonka, dead or alive?
Gene Wilder has passed.
Mace.
Gene Wilder has left us.
Lindsay.
Rest in peace. He's my favorite.
Yep, and he's gone. Adam 4, Lindsay 4, Mason 5. Mace, this one to you. Bob Barker, dead or alive?
Oh, that's interesting. Bob Barker. Star of Happy Gilmore. I'm going to say he's still alive.
Okay, Lindsay.
He's definitely still alive.
Adam.
I'm going to say dead because I have to try to catch him.
You should have gone with the crowd, Adam. He's alive at 96.
God bless him.
All right. Neuter your pets, by the way.
Mason.
Yeah, he would, if he was here, he'd say, yeah. Spay or neuter your pets.
Yes. May 6, Lindsay 5, Adam 4. Who went first at him?
How many of these are left? Can we just stop right now?
No, three left.
Okay. Three left.
He thinks he's going to blow it.
I'm winning.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Lindsay, Angela Lansbury, the star of Murder, She Wrote, dead or alive?
Pretty sure she's still alive.
Adam.
I'll say alive.
Mace.
She's still riding that bike around, solving murders. down Cabot Cove. I think she's alive.
You're going alive?
Yep.
Mason is 7 for 7.
Wow.
Angela Lansbury is alive at 94.
Wait, right. How is he 7 for 7 when he talked about T. Boone Pickens as if he were alive?
I know. I know. It's amazing. All right. So Mason 7, Lindsay 6, Adam 5. There are 2 left. All right. Adam, Tony Bennett, dead or alive?
Oh.
He left his heart in San Francisco.
Yes, he did.
Is he dead or alive?
Oh, I'm going to say alive.
All right, Mace.
God, he lived in my neighborhood when I was in New York. I know exactly. I think he's still alive.
Lindsay.
He's on my list, and he's still alive.
He's on your list and still alive. Mason's a perfect 8 for 8.
Wow.
Lindsay 7 for 7. Or Lindsay 7 for 8. Adam is 6 for 8. This is the last one. Adam, you
yes.
can't win, but Mace, you have to go first.
Give it to me.
Mace, the star of the Lifestyles and Rich and Famous, Robin Leach. Is Robin Leach dead or alive?
Hail, fellow Walmart.
You think he's gone?
I do.
Lindsay.
Yeah, he's dead. I remember when he died.
Yeah, he's Adam, gone.
He's gone. And Mace
yes!
runs the table for a rare victory.
I'm back.
Well, in that game.
This is my month.
We had to give him that one since he's going to be gone all next week.
Yeah, that's true. You needed that one.
Yeah, I'm going to be rooting for Funch next week or Bronny or whoever's here.
I can already smell it through the mic.
Yeah. It's well past it, by the way.
Ah.
That happened a while ago.
Yeah.
That's good. The beauty of broadcasting from home.
I would think.
Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, ladies and gentlemen, this will be basically the last time that we do the Sliwa at Sunset crosstalk, because we're moving to middays and Alan is moving exclusively to Lakers pre and post. So this is it. Did you have the theme song? Do you have the theme song? The
For
Chinatown
what?
Theme? One last time. The sun setting across Los Angeles. It's time, people. Sliwa at Sunset. next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, five words that light up Los Angeles like no others.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Alan Sliwa is here. Sliwa, what's going on, man?
I think I would be the worst hype man. You know how they have sometimes terrible, those hype people?
Terrible hype man.
Yeah, not the job you were cut out to do.
Oh, that's hilarious. Things are good. Things are good. You know, you guys, I heard you mention it right before. It is kind of crazy, huh? Like, that's it. I'll go back to doing Lakers stuff. And, man, that's it kind of got sad for a second there when I'm listening to the Chinatown music there, Mace.
Yeah, I know.
You
theme
that thing.
You own it. You own that thing. Are you going to bring it with you somehow?
I think it's yours.
Is it mine?
Yeah, I think it's like whenever you feel it's necessary, you use it.
Yeah, you know, there have to be other calls for the Chinatown theme. What's that?
I'm not letting this thing touch the Lakers broadcast.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not.
Yeah, how would you fit it in?
So Sliwa, last night, first of all, big question.
Yes.
Did you write a Family Feud?
Yeah, Family Feud coming up next segment.
Awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. Awesome. Yeah, Good job.
I got no choice. That's becoming very important.
So this is my since I'm off next week, this is my final Sliwa at Sunset Crosstalk. We may overlap at some point, but this is the last time since we're going to middays. How are you going to feel without me in your life?
It's going to be tough. I mean, I'm looking at a few different therapists right now.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm looking at them for the damage you did to my self-esteem over the 6 months or what happens moving forward.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think we pumped you up, man. I think we were the Alan Sliwa hype man.
No question about it. You guys did. It's funny because every time, you know, I'll get some tweets just randomly out of nowhere. It'll be Sliwa at Sunset, or I'll do some of the YouTube stuff I do. People put on there Sliwa at Dark. Like they have their own nicknames, and of course the hype came from the Mason Island show.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So last night, what wasn't beautiful was the Lakers shooting. What do you think?
So I know nobody wants to panic because these games don't count for the Lakers right now.
I'm a little panicked.
But it's okay to be a little concerned. I mean, you know, it's not like they're shooting. It's not like Mace. It's not like they played three quarters of good basketball and then they're starting to sub out some of their stars and saying, okay, well, if we lose this game, who cares? They're losing these games. And I know LeBron didn't play yesterday. Neither did Alex Caruso, no Russell Westbrook. But they've been incredibly bad. I mean, all-round shooting. John, when you were saying that stat yesterday, 63-6 was the difference from three-point shooting. I don't know if I've ever heard that before. So
well, I've never heard okay it, but Alan, that's – well, wait a minute. Let's look at it from the other side. Mm-hmm. So they got outscored 63-6. From beyond the arc. You would think just that statistic alone would mean they lost by 50.
By 40, right.
Yeah, but if they get outscored by 57 from beyond the arc. But the truth was that you were with us last night, Alan, you know, that with 9 minutes to go, they had the Rockets worried. The Lakers went on a 16-3 run and almost came all the way back in a game without LeBron on a night where AD wasn't tearing it up. So I think that there is no reason to panic. They're going to go in slumps in shooting. I'd rather them have it now than have it in the playoffs. And I think a significant thing that happened today that nobody's talking about is that Memphis somehow found a way to win a game. And so if they can win one more game, I think they have three left. If Memphis can win one of those three, then maybe they hang on to the eighth seed. They find a way to beat Portland one time. Portland would have to beat them twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lakers open against Memphis, which is a series I think they can handle. In 2008, when the Celtics beat the Lakers in the NBA Finals, they got taken to seven games in the first round. Seven. They almost blew it in the first round, and they went on to win the title. This is how things happen. I'm not worried about the Lakers. I think they'll be fine.
Am I crazy on this one, John? And I think I already know your answer. Is it almost better off for the Lakers to play better competition in the first round just to get back? I mean, take these games a lot more serious. Is Memphis really going to prep them for the Rockets or the Denver Nuggets? Can playing Portland in a six-game set? Look, I don't think Lakers would lose to the Blazers. I don't think many people think that. But can it be helpful that you're playing a team that's clicking on all cylinders? They're playing with a hunger, a sense of urgency that the Lakers aren't. Do you buy into that at all, or would you rather have Memphis?
No, I think the opposite. I think that you want to – three words once you get into the playoffs, survive and advance. Mm-hmm. I think you want to take the least amount of tread off your tires that you can. And Memphis would be the matchup for the Lakers that I think they would win in four or maybe five games. You know, people forget, Alan, when Shaq and Kobe won their first title, Sacramento took them to the full five games in the very first round. You know, that happens. You don't want to play any more games than you have to. And I think if they played Portland, that's a six or maybe seven game series.
Did you guys figure out for the eighth and ninth seed? Did you guys remember just the beginning of the show, you guys were talking about tiebreakers and everything else? Am I right on this, John? I thought what I understood on the eighth and the ninth, it comes down to your winning percentage because it won't be
They're not playing
games.
The same number of games. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, no,
exactly.
You're right.
So I think – so right now, Memphis winning percentage, you know, still at eight, Portland right behind them. And I don't know if San Antonio will catch up or not, but San Antonio's played two less games than Portland has. Portland has two more wins than San Antonio, so it might very well be Portland and Memphis.
Right, and keep this in mind, too, that I think that if Portland gets in, they're more, Alan, like a three seed than an eight seed, the way they're playing with Damian Lillard. You don't want to play Portland unless you have to.
Yeah, they should literally be fighting. If they were healthy all season, they should be fighting with Denver, Utah, OKC, and Houston for that, you know, 3-6 or whatever that slot is. But that may very well be what the Lakers get. So, Mace, to go back to it, to answer your question, you're not panicking, but you wish you were seeing just a better brand of basketball because we're so close to the playoffs. It's a week and a half away, playoff start.
Yeah, it's here. I mean, we are basically there. I think is it a week from Monday the playoffs start, or
correct,
a week from Tuesday?
Week from Monday.
Week from Monday. Wow. And yeah, you want? I'd like to see them shoot a little bit better between now and then. I don't really care that LeBron sits out or AD sits out. I think that, you know, health is still the most important thing that the Lakers have got to protect as they get ready for the playoffs. But I'd like to see KCP and Danny Green find their stroke a little bit.
By the way, just finished season one of The Sopranos. So we're one season in.
What do you think?
I think it's just starting to build up where, you know, I want to watch it during the day, which I haven't got that yet. But you know, you just have that.
What
sense
does that
of
have
urgency.
To do with anything? What time
because
of day you're
never,
watching?
Because I never watch it during the day. Like I never go out of my way to watch TV other than sports during the day. If I'm gonna watch like a series or something like that, Netflix, it's usually at night. That's my
what
theory.
What does that have to do with
it? Yeah, I don't understand how that affects the quality of the show.
It makes me go out of my way at like 10 a.m. to say, you know what, I'm going to watch The Sopranos, or I'm going to watch Breaking Bad, you know, some of those series that I liked, where it doesn't matter the time of the day, you're going to find a time to watch it. Where if it's just like, okay, this has become a routine, I just watch it in the evenings.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, that's not working.
Do you watch
you.
Shows in the morning? You watch shows in the morning, Mace?
You watch them whenever you have time.
Well, for you, you work nights, so you watch shows in the daytime. I work days, so I watch shows at night. But it doesn't affect the quality of the show. It's the same episode of The Sopranos, whether it's 9 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock in the morning.
But I watch shows at night, so I watch them late. Like when I'm done work, 10 o'clock, something like that. That's usually when I watch. I don't watch anything during the day. Like, nothing. I don't watch any shows during the day.
You don't watch ESPN?
I'll watch only sports. Only sports is what I watch. But I'm not, like, typically watching a movie at noon or something along those lines.
Mason, best character in The Sopranos is who? And you can't pick Tony. Tony's the lead. Best supporting character on The Sopranos is who?
Paulie.
Yeah, I totally agree. Paulie Walnuts is the guy that makes
that best.
Show.
Yep. He's the best.
He's the Cosmo Kramer of The Sopranos.
Yep, he really is. He is great. I also... No, I won't say that because Slee was watching. But I missed,
a lot can get lost.
I missed the person that just exited the show while I was watching.
The one that I ruined for you?
The one that you ruined for me.
Artie is good, too. I like Artie.
Artie has some interesting turns in the road coming up.
I like Syl. I love that hunched over Syl. Yep. Is great.
Jennifer's great.
Who's the sister? Janice, she's a real pain in the ass.
Yes, she is.
She is really, she is just, has she gotten there yet, Sliwa? I don't think she's gotten there.
No, I don't have
Mason,
right now.
Mason, have you seen the episode yet with Ben Kingsley?
No.
You are going to love that episode. It might
Ben
be-
Kingsley is in an episode of The Sopranos?
That's all I'm going to tell you.
Wow.
Yeah. When you get to, it'll be one of your favorite episodes.
Did you guys get a, I don't think you guys actually saw it. Maybe you guys saw it on Twitter during one of the breaks. See Draymond on Inside the NBA doing part of the TNT stuff. By the way, that seems like a perfect place for him when his career is over.
Yeah, he's really outspoken and smart.
Did you see his comment on Devin Booker? They were talking about, you know, the 4-0 start for the Suns. Did either of you guys get a chance to see that? Basically pleading, telling Devin Booker, you got to leave the Phoenix Suns. You got to get out of there. They're not going to help your career. I mean, literally just – and then I think he was asked at the end by Ernie Johnson, are you tampering? And he said, I think, or he said yes, or I don't know what he said. But and I don't think it's tampering if a player says anything, but he's –
Well, it would be if he specifically said, I want you to come to X.
Didn't say that.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll get – well, they may get him. The Suns might complain and they may get him. But, yeah, a lot of people say that about Phoenix. Although I'll say this. The head coach of Phoenix, Monty Williams, is really well respected, and the Suns are playing as good as anybody in the bubble. They seem to have figured some things out. And Devin Booker's been great. Been really, really good.
Booker's been amazing. But there are players like that you feel bad for. They're playing for organizations. I mean, if you're playing for the Sacramento Kings or the Phoenix Suns, John, I mean, there's just a few organizations. It's like, how is that guy ever going to shine? I think that's what Draymond's obviously referring
to. Mason is very pro Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, no, they've tanked. They're done. They're done. They made the playoffs kind of. You thought they were a dead last kind of team, John.
I think that's where they might finish.
Well, remember Mace too. We were talking about the bubble and when it first started, and they announced that 22 teams were going. You weren't crazy about the idea, just from a safety perspective, right? You were saying for COVID-19.
Yeah, I would have just gone straight to the playoffs. I mean, as it turned out, it worked perfectly.
I was going to say, do you still feel that way, or do you feel like, no, okay, this was fine? I mean, there hasn't been any positive tests.
No, as long as there are no positive tests, I mean, that's the whole ball game to me. What they did has worked perfectly, and yeah, I wouldn't change it now. My original position was, hey, the fewer the teams, the better. Mm-hmm. But it worked out. They brought a couple of extra teams. We're gonna have one play-in game, or two play-in games, depending how you look at it. They'll be really exciting. They'll be really fun to watch. We'll be watching a play-in game, knowing that the winner is going to be the team that faces the Lakers in the first round. Really cool. So it worked out. But yeah, no, I couldn't. In fact, I suggested today, you know, Major League Baseball should start thinking ahead here. You've got a couple of outbreaks. Why mm-hmm. not put the playoffs in a bubble?
It's a great idea.
Put the playoffs in a bubble. That's only 16 teams. Take you 3 days to onboard everybody, and then you're set. You've got all the and by the way, and teams come out quick because they're three game series. Mm-hmm. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 three game series. So really quickly, you're going to be down to just four teams.
Do they not do that, Mace, because they think – do you think part of them believes they may have an opportunity to have fans at games by the time postseason comes? Or no?
I can't imagine they really believe they're going to have fans. Now, what's mm-hmm. weird is there are some places where maybe you could have fans, and that's where it becomes a little bit uneven. Like, for example, let's say – I'm trying to think what state is not a hotspot right now. If you look at the COVID map, Florida is a mess. Texas is a mess.
Well, keep in mind, Mace, all you need are fields because you don't need stands. So you could go to Iowa or Idaho or Montana.
No, but he's talking about fans. Where can you have fans? In other words – are they holding out because they think, hey, we're going to be able to have people in our stadium and get an actual home field advantage? Like, let's say you were in – unfortunately, all of the states that are hot spots are where Major League Baseball teams are located. Right. So there's nowhere to really go. Ironically, weirdly, probably the safest place to play a baseball game right now is New York, because they've cleaned themselves up a lot. They don't have a whole bunch of COVID in New York. In fact, they announced that in New York, all the kids are going to school. That's how well they did in eradicating this thing. But I still think the safest thing to do for the postseason, and especially if you're going to have a spike of coronavirus, which a lot of people, a lot of those doctors, the lady with the scarf and Dr. Anthony Fauci both have said there's a potential second wave. Get inside a bubble before that second wave crashes.
I mean, if you can't look at the NBA as the perfect blueprint, and listen, I'm actually, I don't know if surprised that Major League Baseball, because I know there's some teams that have only played 7 or 8 games, so I know there's a huge disparity there. But I almost feel like baseball is moving along, but you're on the edge basically the entire time, right? I mean, at any point, you could have another team that breaks out with 10, 12, 13 cases. So they are playing with fire, it seems like.
Yes. All right, so Sliwa, you got Family Feud?
Yeah, we got Family Feud coming up.
Okay. And do these answers and questions make sense? Because a lot of times you do Family Feud and we're like, who the hell would give that answer?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I hope you worked on this, because, you know, you had one of the Family Feuds was excellent and one of them was terrible. And this one's going to decide whether or not this bit worked.
John, are you ready to stay undefeated?
That's
you and me?
True. Team Lakers is undefeated in Family Feud.
Oh, and okay, it's so me and Lindsay. Okay, I got Lindsay. I feel good about that.
It's a good matchup. Yeah,
I don't know why
ready.
You feel good. We've trounced you twice.
All right. Seems like Funch was on my team in the past.
Yeah, I don't think Lindsay and Mace, have they done it before, Lindsay?
No, I've never worked with Lindsay before.
Okay.
It's always been the same two teams.
Yep. So we will play Family Feud. The Feud next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Crosstalk on 710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross-Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great cross-trade service right now for our listeners. Go to powerproplumbing.com for a $99 drain cleaning. Again, powerproplumbing.com.
All right, so before we get to Family Feud, today is International Beer Day. International Beer Day. So have a beer tonight. John, what is your perfect beer?
Perfect beer, probably Heineken. I don't drink a lot of beer anymore. I used to drink a lot, but I, you know, if you ask me what beer I want right now, I'd have a Heineken or an Amstel Light.
Heineken, Sliwa?
I'll do a Hefeweizen. I like Hefs.
Okay. Linz?
I'm a big fan of Leinenkugel Summer Shandy.
I think that's made up. I've never heard of that.
No, that's a real beer.
Is it
real
really?
Beer?
Yeah. And Adam?
I'll go with like a Wolf Pup, a good old IPA.
In honor of all of the good they're doing for us, our sponsorship, etc., I am going to go with Corona.
There
I love
go.
A Corona.
Very
there
good
you
choice.
Go.
Yes. All right. So, Sliwa, it's Family
okay.
Feud time.
Let's do it here. All right. We got Lindsay and Mason, Bronny and Ireland. So, we'll go Steve and John. We'll have you guys up. Your name is your buzzer. Here we go.
Okay.
Name something in a person's closet that only comes out for special occasions.
John. Tuxedo.
Oh.
Tuxedo, the number one answer with 35.
Woo! All right, how many answers are we
Four doing? More on the board.
Adam, I think we might want to pass on this. What do you think?
Yeah, I was thinking. I'm trying to. Yeah, let's pass.
All right.
Okay.
They can have it.
Lindsay's a secret weapon. All right, so name something in a person's closet that only comes out for special occasions. Go ahead, guys.
I think we should start with some kind of decorations, like Christmas tree or Christmas decorations.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, Christmas decorations.
Christmas decorations, strike one.
What?
Damn it, that's obviously one of them. You have the stupidest survey audience.
Guys, just closet.
We only get two strikes.
We only get two strikes. All right, so in the closet.
What about a wedding dress?
You keep it in the closet and only bring it out for special occasions. Yeah, no, wedding dress you only wear once.
Or what about, like, formal dress?
Yeah.
Fancy dress.
A fancy dress I don't think is going to be part of the survey audience. What about fancy shoes?
A gown. That's what I mean.
Oh, a gown. Okay. Yeah. Let's go gown.
All right. Number two answer on the board. dress slash gown.
There we go.
There you okay. go. Okay. All right, Lindsay. All right. I'm going to trust you.
Okay. Three more left.
Boy, this is hard.
Some kind of shoes. Let's think. What about like athletic shoes or?
I was thinking more like special dress occasion. Shoes. Dress shoes.
Dress shoes. Yeah, we'll go dress shoes.
Dress shoes.
Dress shoes. Number five on the board. What was this buzzer?
Why are you saying ah? We got it. Buzzer.
I was trying to will it into existence.
All right, so there are two
real
more.
Quick. So you
two
guys more. Have one, you guys have two, and you guys have five right now.
Right. Okay. In the closet.
Things that you only take out for a special occasion. So I'm trying to think. I'm like,
there's
got to
be a
what
time
about like
limit
a
on this.
Photo album of something?
Okay,
or,
let's go photo album. I don't like it, but okay.
Photo album is not on the board. That's two
all
strikes.
All right, John.
Adam, I think I got it. Adam.
Yeah,
I think I got it.
What do you got?
Mason wears a tie maybe once a year. I think it would be a tie.
Yeah.
Oh, people wear ties to work every day.
Yeah, but for some people, yeah,
don't
you never wear a tie.
All right, we're going. Sliwa, we're going tie.
Tie is the number three answer.
Oh!
They take the round.
It's all right, we'll get the next one.
Okay, you guys got everything but
we'll
one.
The
only one.
One
left was jewelry. Jewelry, the only thing
one.
Left. Okay. All right, here we
that's
go. It's
one.
It's Adam and it's Lindsay.
All right.
Your name is your buzzer. Here we go. What's something you keep in your car just in case?
Bronny.
Lindsay.
A tire jack.
Spare tire? Does that gives
anything,
yeah,
no.
gives
anything
it to,
do
him.
To do with
he said tire
changing.
Jack. A jack.
I think we give it to him. I think we give it to him. Spare tire, a tire jack.
Okay.
Stuff
okay.
for a tire.
How
stuff
many,
for a tire.
Adam?
Was it the number one answer?
It is number four.
Oh, they got a chance?
No,
okay,
no. Well,
so
let,
we
Adam,
can,
let's
we can
play.
Steal it.
Oh, no, they can steal it.
Yeah.
Okay, Mace, I think we should
it?
Go with jumper cables.
Yeah, for sure, jumper cables.
Jumper cables is on the board number five.
Oh.
Number
right, so,
five.
So, Adam, we get the choice?
Yeah, we do.
Let's play.
All right, let's do it.
All right, how many total, Sliwa, how many total answers are there?
So there's five answers.
You got three left.
Number
we have
four
and five
are
right.
gone.
Adam, the thing that I always need in my car is a flashlight. I think it's got to be on there somewhere.
It's funny, I don't have one, but...
Where the hell are you that you need a flashlight in your
well, you
car?
Can't,
yeah.
No, you can't see anything if you drop something into the seats. Adam, let's try it. I
okay.
think it's got to be there.
All right, let's do it.
Flashlight, Sliwa.
All right, flashlight is not on the list. Yeah. Something that you keep.
Let
in
me
your
go
car
bury a body.
I'm
I
trying to picture John
flashlight.
On the 110 with a flashlight.
Who is that creepy guy on the side of the road?
A shovel. Shovel.
He has a rope, a shovel, and a flashlight.
Duct tape.
Okay, wait a minute. So, all right, how about a first aid kit, Bronstein?
Oh.
Got to be there, right?
Yeah. At this point, I'd rather do that and get it wrong so they don't know what it is.
Okay, let's go first aid kit, Sliwa.
Yep.
First aid kit number three on the board.
Woo!
All right.
Two left. Top two answers still left.
All right, so.
Top two answers. And reread the yeah. category.
What's something you keep in your car just in case?
Okay.
Just in case.
Let me see. He said tire jack. Does that wipe out anything that has to do with spare tires?
Yeah.
Okay. Adam, what about you? I always have a blanket in my car in case you got to change your tire.
Blanket and a flashlight.
Are you a serial killer, John? You're scaring me.
You wrap him in a blanket, some twine, and some duct tape and a flashlight
okay.
so you can see when you're in the San Angeles forest.
Adam, do you have something better than blanket for an answer?
Oh, man. You know what? My car registration. What about my car registration?
Yeah, I could see that. But wait, it says just in case.
Something you keep in your car just in case.
I think it's either like a blanket or bed bedding because in case you have to sleep.
Also, no. Hey, you know what? John hasn't steered us wrong yet. Let's
all right,
do it.
Blanket or bedding there, Sliwa.
That is strike number two. A chance for them to steal. Mason and Lindsay.
Okay, Lindsay, my first thought was water.
I thought of it.
Don't
I'm thinking I was thinking like either gum or air, gum. Like air breath. What's it? Breath spray.
Breath
like,
mints?
Yeah, you know, no. Like you're gonna go on a date or something.
No,
like
you're wrong. Every, you're wrong. Gum. It's water. It's water. Actually, water is our answer.
Water. I don't know. Who leaves water in their car? No, it's not our answer.
This is gonna be this is gonna be on the board. I can't believe I didn't think of
water. It's water. It's
is that
water.
The final answer?
That's the final answer.
Water is on the board.
Yes!
At number two. Money slash coins.
Oh, I
one.
Thought about that one. Yeah.
On the board. Okay, overtime. Here we go. Number three. All it's right. Back to Mason and Ireland.
Okay.
Okay.
Name is your buzzer. Name something you might prefer to buy in person rather than online.
Mason.
Steve.
Clothes.
Number one answer on the board, clothes.
How many are there?
There is five total.
We'll
four left.
Lindsay, what do you think? Pass?
Yeah, we could pass.
They're not that smart. Let's pass to them.
Famous last words.
All right, here we go. John and Adam.
Read the question again.
Name something you might prefer to buy in person rather than online.
Adam, how about food?
Yeah, I was going to say groceries. Yeah, food.
Right, food.
Food is the number three answer on the board. So one and three are off.
Okay, name something you would rather buy in person than online.
Electronics?
No,
like,
let's see. I TV or something. Yeah, we'll go electronics. Why not?
Electronics, strike one, not on there. All right, one more strike left.
Oh, Adam, I got one. Shoes.
Ooh,
gotta be there.
Yeah, no, shoes. Oh, well, does shoes count as clothing?
Yeah, keep that together. That's all together. Shoes
okay.
And clothes are together.
What about keys?
What are you talking about?
Oh, a car.
That's good. We'll go a car.
Car. Number two answer on the board.
How many
two
are left?
Two answers left. Already one strike, one strike to go.
How many answers are left?
There are two answers left.
Ooh.
What else could it be? I can't think.
So you guys got clothes, car, and food. Two answers left. Four and five.
Adam, you got anything? I can't think of anything.
Oh, man. I'm like.
Buy in person.
Appliances or I don't
it's
know.
It's as good. It would be. It'd be as good as anything else. Yeah. So we'll go appliances.
Appliances is not on the board. Chance to steal.
All right.
Mace, Lindsay, okay. If you get it, you win. If you don't get it, they win.
Okay, Lindsay. Buy in person rather at
name
rather
something
than
you
online.
Might prefer to buy in person rather than online.
I had what just about a minute ago, but... a TV?
God, does that count under appliances?
I think it probably does.
It counts as under electronics too. That was
yeah. Counts under electronics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, buy in person rather than online. How
what
about
medicine? Lingerie. That's probably
counts
as
clothes.
It's 6:24. All right, so buy in person rather than online. Let's go with. Lindsay?
All right, 5 seconds. Five, four, three, two.
Condoms.
What'd you say, Mace?
Condoms.
Condoms. That's a guess. Sliwa. Condoms.
Condoms is not on the
We remain undefeated.
What was the ones we didn't get?
Number four, mattress.
Oh,
that's good.
That's very good.
And then the final one was perfume or cologne.
Okay.
Never would have gotten
that.
Yeah.
Those
all right,
legit.
Well, congratulations to John and Adam, whatever. Sliwa,
all right,
this is it for you and me.
Yes, sir.
Hail fellow well met. I wish you well wherever your travels take you. Very sad.
Just at the end of Sliwa.
You act like he's dying.
Sliwa, I'll talk to you tomorrow when the Lakers play the Pacers at
that's
3
right.
o'clock.
And Mace, I'll talk to you the week. Mace, I'll talk to you the week after that. We do crosstalk before the Laker game.
Okay, week after that. That sounds good. So
kinda
we'll only be apart for a short period of time.
Kind of took the steam out of that bit.
All right. Hey, when I come back from vacation, it's official. Monday the 17th, a week from Monday, will be our brand new lineup. Mason and Ireland going back to middays, back where we belong. We're really excited about it. We hope you'll come with us. Thank you very much for listening. An afternoon drive to our afternoon drive listeners. See ya. We're going to go back to middays. Tomorrow, Lakers basketball for you right here on 710 ESPN. Monday, Ireland with Momo filling in all week.
Hello? See ya. Anybody there?
See you in a week.
Lindsay?
710 ESPN.